So this morning, in this session, I'd like to begin by sharing some reflections on loving-kindness and the what we call the heart practices, and I'll say a little more about those in a minute, that we cultivate, that are wholesome, that help us live with greater ease and greater freedom, and help us open to our hearts, to ourselves, to others, and to the world. And kind of want to put that in some context for our time together, and the context for our time, the time that we're living in as well. I want to begin with a short piece from Christina Feldman, who is from the UK and one of the leading insight meditation teachers of our time. She says, "Your emotional world is both personal and universal. As you open to the rhythms of your heart, you meet a lifetime's accumulation of sorrow, grief, and hurt. You encounter your capacity for rage, resentment, harshness, and fear. You also meet your capacity for tenderness, intimacy, and joy. The language of your emotions is universal. Grief, sadness, the longing to love and be loved, the capacity to experience and to inflict hurt. The language of your heart teaches you about your interconnectedness and your interdependence. You can reach out to someone who's grieving because you know what grief is. You can comfort someone who's hurt, fearful, or sad, because you know the contours of those feelings in your own heart. You can hold another person's sorrow in the tenderness of compassion because you know what it means to be held in the compassion of another." So each one of us has the capacity to do great harm or great good in our lives and in the world. You know, I was speaking yesterday about, you know, what are the seeds that we sow, or what wolf do we feed? Do we feed our anger and our fear or our greed? Or do we feed kindness and compassion, love, peace, joy? Not in any way to make certain emotions better than other emotions. They're all natural responses of the heart and mind to what we're experiencing. When we feel we're under threat, we will naturally go into a defensive mode, a fight or flight mode. We know this. We got to run away. We got to defend ourselves. When we feel fear, we want to get away. When we feel anger, we want to hit out. When we feel grief, we want to collapse and perhaps be comforted. These are natural qualities of the heart. We all respond to these emotions. What's crucial is how we deal with them, how we meet those emotions. Do we turn our anger, rather than allowing ourselves to feel it, do we turn it outward on somebody else and say, you're at fault, you know, I need to get rid of you or do something about you? Or do we allow the feeling to come and go? With any of these emotions, we can meet them with wisdom and kindness, or we can meet them unskillfully. And so, you know, in the larger picture of how we see our world, the Buddhist practice or teachings is not to see anyone as bad or evil. Yes, we make choices, and our behavior can be unskillful. But if we turn somebody into the other or the enemy, Tara Brach often uses the phrase, the unreal other, then we separate ourselves from them. And we create suffering in doing that. That's not in any way to say there aren't people doing great harm in the world. Absolutely, to acknowledge the truth of that and the need to respond wisely to that and kindly and appropriately to that. But if we get caught up in, you're the bad person, you're wrong, you know, we get into the struggle of self and other that just really perpetuates conflict. I think that's particularly important in our time today, where divisions are so deep and so painful, where there's the sense of us and them and, you know, self and other is very, very strong. And it at times, at a time like this, and, you know, it's been a long time since I've known any time quite like this, these practices, I think, are really indispensable, absolutely indispensable. You know, there's a line from Leonard Cohen. He says, the heart has got to open in a fundamental way. You know, the heart has got to open. That we need to respond not from, you know, from our own, you know, defending our own position, you know, on the battlefield, battlements, you know, that we hold open our hearts to everybody. And that involves both wisdom and compassion. It's not just being, kind of, it's certainly not being a doormat, but it's keeping our hearts open even to those we might most strongly disagree with. And as I've said, this is a practice, it's a training. It's not where necessarily we begin. For most of us, we don't begin there. So we'll be practicing over in these days and today and tomorrow and opening our hearts and typically beginning where it's easier and then cultivating an openness of heart step by step, building that muscle, if you like. There's a story in Buddhism of the origin of the loving kindness meditation, and the story goes that you see it as a legendary story, but kind of reinforces the teachings. In the story, of the origins of loving kindness meditation, a group of monks went to a forest to meditate, and the spirits of the forest, kind of the lived in the forest, resented their intrusion. Who are you to come and meditate or do, you know, interfere with our lives here in this forest? And so they emitted fearful sounds, scary sounds, and awful smells that greatly disconcerted the monks, who then went back to the Buddha and asked for a more serene place to meditate. You know, that's kind of a natural response, isn't it? Something kind of awful, oh, I don't like this. I want something much nicer than this. So they go back to the Buddha and say, couldn't you give us a nice forest with friendly spirits where we could meditate and be calm and peaceful? And the Buddha said no. But he taught them the practice of loving kindness. The practice of cultivating a heart that can be open to pain and suffering. And the monks went back to the forest, and the spirits of the forest felt their love, felt their kindness, their friendliness, and then welcomed and protected them. In a way, this is obviously a kind of a legendary story, but it has a real beauty to it. Because it actually does speak, certainly in my experience, to how if I can go from the shut down place, the fight or flight, the fearful place, and allow my heart to open, the difficulties may still be there, but I can make space for them. And I'm not in this, you know, tight, contracted, fearful place. And this is the quality that we can cultivate with loving kindness. Sharon Salzberg, which I probably many of you are familiar with, one of the leading insight meditation teachers, commented on this story of the origins of the loving kindness practice. She said, the inner meaning of the story is that a mind filled with fear can still be penetrated by the quality of loving kindness. A mind filled with fear can still be affected and penetrated by loving kindness. Moreover, a mind that is saturated by loving kindness cannot be overcome by fear. Even if fear should arise, it will not overpower such a mind. So if our hearts are really filled with loving kindness or compassion or any of these other heart qualities, fear may still arise, but it doesn't become the kind of defining quality of the mind, the overpowering quality of the mind. So I said that yesterday, loving kindness is a quality that is described as boundless and immeasurable, because with training, there's no limit to the kindness and love that we can feel for ourselves and for others, and ultimately for all beings. I want to just frame loving kindness in the context of the Buddhist teachings. Loving kindness is one of the four heart qualities that are called in the Pali language Brahma Viharas. Brahma means Brahma was a god in kind of the ancient times, and Vihara is a home or a house. So sometimes the term used is a divine abode. Sometimes it might be a beautiful home, a beautiful place for the heart to abide is in one of these qualities. There's four qualities. And you can think of the first one, loving kindness, as really a kind of an unselfish love, a love that, or a friendliness, doesn't have to be love in, certainly not in our, necessarily in our traditional or in our cultural conception, modern conception of love, which is, you know, often very much permeated by attachment and often sometimes by clinging as well. So, but it's a love that's, you could call it an unselfish love, that we can feel as much for somebody that we don't know, somebody maybe a long way away, as for somebody who's close to us. It's a quality of an open heart. It's a quality that naturally arises when we're not caught up in, you know, if we're caught up in fear, what happens is, or in any of the kind of difficult emotions, we go into a kind of tunnel vision. You know, we only see what's right in front of us. When we open to the positive, what are sometimes called positive emotions, like love or joy or contentment, happiness, what happens is our range of choices open up. You know, so you can think of it as like fear being contracted, anger tightening up, and joy, compassion, love, the heart opening up. So that sense of really of spaciousness. So with loving kindness, loving kindness is really a naturally arising quality when we're not caught up, when we're able to let go of fear and anger and the more challenging emotions, we're able to see them come and let them go. Then what naturally arises is we see somebody who's happy, then we feel happy. We see somebody, you know, just going through their life, that we, what naturally opens is an attitude of kindness towards them, friendliness. It's kind of what we want to do as humans. They've even done, there's been research on rats and how rats have a kind of a pro-social, they'll free another rat who's caught in a cage, in a, you know, locked up in a cage and suffering. You know, these responses of connection and kindness go way back even before humans. I don't want to overstate the rats' open-hearted qualities. I mean, but in the sense of looking, you know, caring for another fellow rat, that these qualities naturally arise. And we can also cultivate them. We can cultivate them. We can invite their arising. You know, we can, you know, they may not be present, but we can intentionally wish for them to arise. So what we'll be doing are practices that invite them to arise, or if they're already present, to invite them to expand. And it's we're really focusing on the intention of kindness to ourselves and to others. So loving kindness can be seen as Gil Fronsdell, a West Coast, wonderful West Coast teacher, Spirit Rock Center, speaks about these qualities as the four faces of love. He says, the heart has four faces. Each sees the world in a different way and speaks with a different purpose. Yet each aspect belongs to the same heart. They are inseparable, like the four directions of a compass. So the first of these qualities of the heart, these first, if you like, of these four faces of the heart, is loving kindness that can go out to include all beings everywhere. And that's the intention of our practice, kind of to train the heart in this way. The second of the qualities, and the Pali word, as many of you probably know, is metta, M-E-T-T-A, metta. Is loving kindness, what's normally called in English loving kindness, is metta in the language of the Buddha, first language of the Buddha's teachings, loving kindness, metta. The second quality is compassion. It's this same unselfish love, this heart being open, you could call it an awakened or an awakening heart, meeting suffering, seeing somebody who's suffering. What naturally arises, if we're not closed down, because if we're closed down, it's hard for that quality to arise. But if the heart is open, then what naturally arises is compassion, caring for the well-being of that person, responding to their suffering and wanting to help alleviate their suffering. This is compassion. It's been called the quivering of the heart in response to suffering. So we see somebody who's hurt or fallen over or burned themselves or whatever. We want to reach out. We have this natural inclination to do it. We even have neurons in the brain. You've probably heard of mirror neurons, where we see somebody else's pain and we respond with pain to that pain. You know, the same brain areas are activated by that suffering. So it's a natural quality of caring and reaching out. This is compassion, the second quality, karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, karuna, the heart opening in response to the suffering of another, but also for ourselves. You know, I'll be talking today also about self-compassion and the importance of self-compassion, of taking care of ourselves. So to compassion, the second of these qualities. The third is when the heart meets the happiness of another, somebody who's actually doing well, who's had a success, who's graduated from college, who's had a baby, who's got a very great new job. You know, when the heart is open, what naturally arises is happiness in their happiness. This is sometimes called in English sympathetic joy or appreciative joy. Joy in the joy or the happiness, joy in the well-being of another. It's a natural quality. Now, often in our culture, in our world, that may not be the natural response. The natural response, oh, why didn't I get that prize? You know, or, you know, oh, why do they have more of that than I do? You know, I mean, but then that's because we're in a place of tightness and clinging that the heart doesn't open in that way. But if we can abandon the clinging, what naturally arises is joy, sympathetic joy in in the happiness of the other. It could be our own happiness too, joy in our own happiness. And the fourth quality is equanimity. And equanimity arises and can be cultivated as a way of balancing these other qualities of compassion, loving kindness, sympathetic joy, because these can without awareness turn into something that's very different than the particular quality that we're talking about. So for example, compassion, if there's a lack of awareness, that could turn into pity. You know, compassion is very different from pity. Pity, there's a me up here and a you down there, or, you know, there's the above and below. Loving kindness could turn into attachment or craving. You know, it could have that loving quality, but with a sense of wanting to hold on to something. So equanimity balances these qualities, keeps them in that space of really of an open heart. And it's also a quality that of heart that we can express when there isn't a particular call to express for our response to be in a particular way, like compassion or like joy in the happiness of another. It's an evenness of mind and heart that balances and allows our heart to be open. So the third quality is mudita, is sympathetic joy in Pali, and upekkha, equanimity, the fourth of these qualities. With the conscious practice of loving kindness, what we're doing is we're inviting the arising of this quality of heart and mind. If it's loving kindness or it's compassion or joy or equanimity, we're inviting that quality to arise. So with loving kindness, we're intending, wishing for the well-being of the person or people that we're sending the wishes of loving kindness to. Typically, in this practice of loving kindness, we use certain words and phrases just to evoke that sense of kindness and friendliness. You know, it could be, and they can vary, and you can choose phrases that really speak to you, really resonate with you. You know, typically it'd be, may I be happy, may I be safe, may I be peaceful, may I live with ease. And just inviting a reflection, just a repetition of these phrases internally as you send the wishes of kindness to the person, yourself or another. We can also touch into and connect with feelings associated with loving kindness. So see if in our bodies we're experiencing, in our hearts or in our belly or in our face, feelings of kindness or warmth, or any other sensations that are coming up. We kind of invite those to arise if they're present and expand. And we can also use visualization. We can visualize ourselves maybe in a place where we are feeling happy or peaceful, or use an image of another person in a state of happiness or in different conditions. We could visualize ourselves as a child or as a baby, and as a way of helping to open our hearts. So just to begin, we'll sit in a way that's relaxed and comfortable. Just feeling your body here on the chair or the cushion. You might invite a smile to your face. Think about a loved one or a dear friend or pet. You could take a full breath or two just to help you settle into being here. You could scan your body, just moving the attention down and invite areas where you might be feeling tight or tense to soften and relax. The eyes, facial muscles, the mouth, the jaw, the throat. The chest and the belly. Just letting your awareness rest there and inviting a softening, relaxing, letting go of any holding if you can, any tension or clenching of muscles, the shoulders, the arms and the legs, down the body. Take a moment to reflect on a few things in your life that you feel grateful for. Just take a moment to reflect on things, maybe people or qualities or conditions that you feel grateful for. Allow yourself to take in any feelings that come up when you think about someone or something you feel grateful for. Let yourself feel it. Let yourself breathe that in and feel it in your chest or your belly or your face or anywhere. You might think of a time that you were happy or peaceful or joyful. Think about that, the time and the place. If you can, just kind of bring yourself back there. Not as a story, but just as a way of touching into feelings of warmth or ease or well-being or peace. The time you felt really happy or peaceful or at ease. See if you can touch into the quality of heart and mind and body that you felt, maybe that you feel now. maybe it was contentment or joy, peace, or a sense of well-being. Again, take in the feelings, appreciate whatever is arising, and if nothing is arising or whatever is arising, see if you can just meet it with kindness and friendliness. You might take a moment to think about your life and your wish to be happy and peaceful, to take care of yourself, to love, to be loved. Just the natural quality of wanting to be happy that we all share. Just think about your own wish to be happy, and how you've sought to achieve happiness in your life. All of us have made mistakes, done things we've regretted, but not to focus on those overly at this moment, just to recognize your wish to be happy, like all beings. You might imagine looking at yourself through the eyes of a loved one, somebody who really cares about you, or through your own eyes. If it's helpful, you could put your hand on your heart, your hand on your belly, just connecting with this life. This being that you know better than anyone in the world. And just wishing for your own well-being, your own happiness. Maybe recognizing the things right now that make it difficult to be happy. Maybe there's fear, or there's grief, or there's anger. Whatever arises, see if you can hold those with care and with kindness. And you can, if you'd like to, you could just silently repeat these phrases, or adapt them, or use your own. These phrases of loving kindness. May I be happy. May I be happy. Just breathe in that wish for yourself that you be happy, that you be truly happy. May I be happy. May I be safe and free from harm. Just breathing in that wish for safety that we all have. We all wish to be free from danger, free from physical and mental harm. Just wishing that for yourself. May I be safe and free from harm. Just breathing in that wish. May I be peaceful and healthy. May I be peaceful and healthy. So breathing in that, a wish for yourself that you know peace and good health. You know, and in any of these phrases, adapt them to your own circumstances so that they resonate for you as much as possible. Or find your own phrases that speak to you. May I be peaceful and healthy. May I live with ease and with kindness. May I live with ease and with kindness. Taking in whatever feelings arise, whatever comes up. You can silently repeat the phrases if you'd like. May I be happy. May I be safe and free from harm. May I be peaceful and healthy. May I live with ease and with kindness. If you'd like to shorten them, you can do that. Just whatever feels right to you. Even letting go of the phrases and just touching into the feelings, if any, that arise. Just be aware of whatever comes up for you. See if you can hold this with kindness. Inviting the arising of these qualities. Just having the intention of wishing yourself well. We don't have to expect something to come up. We're just planting the seeds. It may be that feelings of kindness for yourself may arise, or it may not. But just continue to plant the seeds with the words and the phrases, visualizing if it's helpful, visualizing yourself perhaps being in a place of peace, of ease that you're not in right now, or a time that you were feeling happy, and just touching into those feelings, just to help evoke that feeling of kindness. But really, we're planting seeds, and we don't know when or where or how they're going to bloom, or if they are. But if we nurture them, the prospects of our heart opening are much stronger. If you feel ready now, you might expand the circle of loving kindness out to include a dear friend or a loved one, someone who's cared deeply for you. And if you can, let their image come into your heart and your mind. You might imagine them sitting right in front of you and looking into your eyes. Reflecting on their wish to be happy and safe and free from harm. Appreciating all that they've done for or given to you. Letting their image come up and sending wishes of kindness. May you be happy. May you be happy. May you be safe and free from harm. May you be peaceful and healthy. May you live with ease and with kindness. as you're continuing this practice of loving kindness now towards a dear friend or loved one or a benefactor. I'm going to just share a short reading from Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Zen teacher and poet and activist. This resonates with me a lot because the first person that tends to come up in my loving kindness meditation is my mother, who's now old, getting older and in difficult conditions with memory loss. And I'm just so grateful for her life, bringing up 9 children and 20 grandchildren. So this is Thich Nhat Hanh talking about his mother. He said, "The day my mother died, I wrote in my journal, 'A serious misfortune of my life has arrived. I suffered for more than a year after the passing away of my mother. But one night in the highlands of Vietnam, I was sleeping in the hut of my hermitage. I dreamed of my mother. I saw myself sitting with her, and we were having a wonderful talk. She looked young and beautiful, her hair flowing down. It was so pleasant to sit there and talk to her, as if she had never died. When I woke up, it was about 2 in the morning, and I felt very strongly that I had never lost my mother. The impression that my mother was still with me was very clear. I understood then that the idea of having lost my mother was just an idea. It was obvious in that moment that my mother is always alive in me. I opened the door and went outside. The entire hillside was bathed in moonlight. It was a hill covered with tea plants, and my hut was set behind the temple halfway up. Walking slowly in the moonlight through the rows of tea plants, I noticed my mother was still with me. She was the moonlight caressing me as she had so often done. Very tender, very sweet, wonderful. Each time my feet touched the earth, I knew my mother was there with me. I knew this body was not mine alone, but a living continuation of my mother and my father and my grandparents and great-grandparents, of all my ancestors. These feet that I saw as my feet were actually our feet. Together, my mother and I were leaving footprints in the damp soil." So whoever it is that you're sending the wishes of loving kindness to, just wishing them well, including yourself too in this well-wishing. May you be happy. May we be happy. Safe, free from harm. Healthy, peaceful. May we live with ease and with kindness. Sending the wishes of kindness out. I'd like to just invite us to include to, particularly now, today, in these days, those who are suffering from the separation of families at the border, the young children who are separated from their parents and loved ones, parents who don't know many cases where their children are, just opening our hearts in compassion, without judgment, but with the intention of alleviating the suffering. Maybe sending a wish of well-being, of happiness, of compassion, of care to all of them and all those who are rallying today to try and change policies that lead to harm. And to everybody, not separating ourselves from each other, recognizing that we all co-create the society that we live in. Just letting as much as you can your heart be open, sending wishes of loving kindness and compassion. May you be safe, free from harm. May you know happiness. May you know peace and well-being. May you live with ease and with kindness. Just as we finish this meditation this morning, I'd invite you to include in your walking meditation and in your throughout your day the practice of loving kindness, of paying attention, being present, and consciously wishing well to others, wishing well to those of us who are here together, if we pass in the hall or in the dining room or sitting near someone, we can very easily just send a wish of well-being and happiness. May you be happy. May you be safe. May you be healthy and well. Whatever words, whatever language, or without words, just the feeling, letting it arise in you. And it's a training. It's not. For some of us, loving kindness was not the easiest or the easiest practice for us initially. I remember for some years I would practice loving kindness, and often it would feel somewhat kind of almost ritualistic, or kind of like you're saying the words. But the more I was able to touch into my heart, the more I could see that this is a really indispensable quality for living our lives in the world. That if we don't train ourselves to open with love and with joy and with compassion, that we're living a somewhat tight and stunted existence, that we're living less than fully. So the invitation is, if you can just breathe that wish of kindness to yourself and to others, bringing it into your day, to the animals that are around us, the groundhogs and the insects, maybe the ones we like and the ones we don't like, including them too in this practice of loving kindness. Finish with this poem from Derek Walcott, the Caribbean poet who died last year, won the Nobel Prize in the 90s. This is called Love After Love. the time will come when with elation you will greet yourself arriving at your own door in your own mirror, and each will smile at the other's welcome and say, sit here, eat. You will love again the stranger who is yourself. Give wine, give bread, give back your heart to itself, to the stranger who has loved you all your life, whom you have ignored for another, who knows you by heart. Take down the love letters from the bookshelf, the photographs, the desperate notes. Peel your own image from the mirror. Sit. Feast on your life.